We're gonna have a few different speakers up here. My name is Mike Emard. I'm a senior program manager on the Store Simple team. We'll also have a customer, Kevin, come up, and we'll have Yap from Talon up here, and Matt, another program manager at Store Simple. So what we're gonna do is first we're gonna start out with an overview of Store Simple technology so you get an idea of what it is we're gonna do, and then we're gonna launch into a bunch of different demos and you'll hear about a particular customer experience. Right, so first I'm gonna cover the challenges that Store Simple is looking to address, and then we'll get into how specifically we address those challenges, right, through consolidating storage functions, moving inactive data to the cloud tier, integrating with the cloud seamlessly. We'll talk about how we do backup and DR. We'll give a little bit of comparison between the Store Simple physical appliance that you can get and the virtual array, and then we'll dive into some of these workloads. And have some, we're gonna have time for Q&A at the end, but it's a pretty small group. If you have a question in the middle, just shout it out or put up your hand or whatever. All right, so the big overarching challenge here is this rapid data growth. So IDC was saying 40% year-over-year growth. For you, it might be a little more or a little less, but a lot of people are seeing really high amounts of data growth. And this creates all kinds of problems. There's storage cost and infrastructure sprawl, right? You need more data, you have more data, so you buy another device and then another device, and all these different components coming together create a really complex data protection and disaster recovery story, right? Usually there's separate backup software, separate backup disks and all this. And there's also resource constraints, right? Companies don't have a lot of extra money these days to buy a lot of extra capacity, so you have it laying around, and also don't have time to pay people to kind of provision on demand. So if there's an internal request for more storage, you just can't go get it the next week and have it racked and stacked and ready to go. So it's pretty complex and expensive story today. And the first way that Store Simple addresses this is by consolidating a lot of storage functionality. So in a traditional environment, you might see primary storage, a separate device for archival storage, separate device for backup storage, different software to move things between these devices, maybe even some remote replication. You can replace all that kind of functionality with just a Store Simple array and Microsoft Azure, right? And this is gonna make it much easier to manage your growth, lower the costs, make you a lot more agile because you can expand into the cloud on demand, and we're gonna simplify the data protection story. All right, so Store Simple tiers inactive data to the cloud. So if you're familiar with storage tiering that's been around for quite some time, if you have a device that has SSD and spinning disks in it, right, the most active data will automatically go to flash, right? At that same concept, except we have SSD spinning disks in the local device and then the cloud tier. And Store Simple is gonna automatically move data to the right tier depending on how hot that data is, right? So that gives you that combination of enterprise performance for your local cache and then cloud economics for the bulk of the data. There's a lot of workloads out there that really like 80 or 90% of the data isn't even touched. Right, I just think about all the data that I generate as a program manager, all these specifications and docs and PowerPoints. I'm usually working on something for a few months and then I keep it in the archive, but I never touch it again. Right? And there's a lot of scenarios like that. And that's where Store Simple can really shine, where we can move that cold data out to the cloud for you automatically and give you that local performance for the things you're actually using. All right, the other thing here is that Store Simple is gonna provide seamless cloud integration, right? And what that means is you don't have to modify your existing servers and applications in order to start using cloud storage, right? There's two flavors of Store Simple. There's either the physical array, which is an iSCSI target, or our virtual array, which can be an iSCSI target or an SMB share. Either way, all the local data is done over standard protocol. It's either just iSCSI or SMB, right? So your servers and applications don't have to know like what's in the cloud, what layer in storage it is. We just manage it all for you, right? So we use Azure for tiering, but also for backups, right? And also all the management is done in Azure. So I'll do a demo in a minute here, and you'll see that all the Store Simple management is done in Azure, and there's also a Store Simple cloud appliance. So you can actually DR from on-premise up into Azure. When it's up in Azure, it looks just like the on-prem. It's just an iSCSI target, for VMs in Azure. You have two different choices when you create volumes or shares in Store Simple. You can create a tiered volume, which is what we've been talking about mostly, right? Automatic tiering of the data out into Azure. Or you can create a locally pinned volume. So if you have one piece of data that you want to always stay local, but you want to send all the backups to the cloud, you can do that as well. All these, both the virtual and the physical array, have cloud deduplication, compression, and encryption on the way to Azure, both on the wire and at rest. All right, so this slide just helps you get the idea of how we do this backups, and cloud snapshots, and disaster recovery. You can see we have three different Source Simple appliances here, a physical appliance in Data Center 1, another physical appliance in Data Center 2, and a virtual appliance up in Azure. Now, all these appliances are going to take snapshots up in Azure, and at any point, you can move the data to another appliance, or you can create a copy of the data, which we call a clone, to another appliance. All right, so you don't have to set up anything in advance. Whenever you want, you can just go grab one of those snapshots and move it to another appliance. And the snapshots are very flexible. You can say, hey, I want to take daily snapshots or hourly snapshots. You can set your own retention period and all of that. All right, so Store Simple has highly efficient disaster recovery. Now, the reason we can do this is because we have these appliances that understand this cloud tiering, right? So we can operate when all the data is still in the cloud. So after you do a disaster recovery from one appliance to another, we can get you up and running right away so you can access that most critical data very quickly. All the data is still in the cloud, but you're online. And that Store Simple appliance is going to act as a conduit and bring all the data that's being requested. And over time, that working set will build back up, and then you'll have that local cache again, and you'll be back to that local performance. You know, with a regular cloud backup, if you were just sending a bunch of data into the cloud and you had to bring it back on-prem to online it, you'd have to bring the whole volume back first, right? And so that's why you're going to see much faster times. Regardless of how much data is in Store Simple, we can get you up and running in 2 minutes. So, you know, yeah, question, here you go. What, say it one more time? Okay, yeah. So the question was, is the data that's pushed up into the cloud before or after dedupe? It's after dedupe. So we actually dedupe on the appliance, we compress on the appliance, and then we encrypt it and send it to the cloud. Yep. All right, so these are some hardware specifications. So we have the 8100 and 8600. I won't read every cell here, but you can see that the 8600 is a 500 terabyte appliance when you include the cloud, and that's all in just a 4U rack mountable device. Right? The usable local capacity, or the cache, if you will, is about 29 terabytes. But because we do local dedupe and compression, you could end up getting a lot more, you know, host visible data on there. The Store Simple virtual array, these are the minimum specs that you would need if you wanted to run the Store Simple virtual array on your Hyper-V or VMware infrastructure, right? You need 80 gigs for the OS, and then anywhere from 500 gigs to 8 terabytes for your data disk, that's going to act as your cache, right? And that data disk can be, you know, one hard drive or some striped drives, whatever you set up. So then the four cores for the virtual array and, you know, a network connection of at least 5 Mbps. All right, so this gives sort of a high-level summary of some of the workloads that you might use Store Simple for and what specific Store Simple technology you would use. So we'll start down here in the bottom left. So these are the tiered volume shares. These are the capacity-driven workloads, those workloads where you want to move like 80% of the data out into Azure, right? So that's like file shares, collaboration, archive, and a new one, backup target, which we're going to do a demo of here today. Then you have these performance-driven workloads. These are what you'd use those local volumes for, right? So if you want to put data that you want to stay on the local appliance but still do backup and DR through the cloud, things like virtual machines, SQL Server, that type of thing. Right, now the two sections on the top, these are what you would be using the Store Simple cloud appliance for. Right, so if you wanted to do DR up into the cloud, if you have a disaster on-prem, you can use the virtual appliance for that. If you wanted to do dev test scenarios, you can have them running up there, leveraging our clone functionality. Right, so remember, a clone is going to take a copy of a snapshot and make it available to that virtual appliance in the cloud. Right, so say you had a research scenario where you're pumping a lot of research data locally through the Store Simple appliance and it's all going in the cloud, and then you want to actually do some analysis on that data. You could create a clone of the data and make that available through a virtual appliance in the cloud. Then you could spin up a whole bunch of VMs, to run your research against that data, and then when you're done, you take it all down, right? And so that's all pay as you go. And the clone is not creating a duplicate copy of all your data so that you suddenly have double the storage, right? It's all just a map, right? So we create a map of the data referencing back to the same, so it's really fast, and you don't get charged double for the storage. The other thing up here is extending into Azure through data transformation, right? So StorSimple has been putting data into Azure for a long time now, and now we're adding the ability to do more with your data once it's up there, right? So you can go do media services or search or a lot of other Azure services, and we have a demo of that coming up too, so I won't say too much more on that. All right, so now I'm going to start with an actual example. All right. So I'm going to show you how easy it is to kind of create a volume in StorSimple and get it hooked up to a server seamlessly. Sorry, one more slide before I do that. So, you know, why is archive good for StorSimple? There's a lot of cold data, right? And also, it's kind of an unpredictable working set. You might pull a whole section back from the archive and start working on it for a couple of months, and then it goes cold again. And so StorSimple can automatically manage that caching for you. So we're going to show, in this demo, we're going to a StorSimple array, right, connected to a VM over iSCSI. I'm going to show you how easy it is to provision the volumes. Then we'll extend the volume and show you how easy it is to add storage. And we'll do an item level recovery via a clone. All right. All right, so this is the server that we're going to connect to the StorSimple appliance. You can see it just has some local disks now. We'll jump over here to the StorSimple manager in Azure. So again, all the management of your StorSimple devices is done through the Azure portal. There's a small local interface that you use basically just to register with your portal, and then everything's done through the Azure GUI. So here's the list of devices that I have in this portal. I have my physical device here and a couple of virtual devices. So we'll go into this physical device. First thing you'd want to do is create a volume container. So a volume container is going to be a set of volumes that you create on the device. All the data inside a volume container is going to be deduped across each other, and a volume container is tied to a storage account. Right? So if you wanted to have one appliance talking to many different storage accounts, you could do that. I've set up a volume container right here, and we'll just add a volume. So we're going to make it a tiered volume with 5 terabytes of capacity. Now this ACR, this is just iSCSI permissions basically, so I'm going to pick which server I want to give permissions to. I already have this archive demo server, but if I didn't have it in there, I would just put the iSCSI initiator in here. So that all this is just to show you how easy it would be. iSCSI initiator is just a Windows feature. You would just go grab this initiator name and put it in up here. There's no VLAN tagging in StorSimple. Oh yeah, so there's the physical appliance has multiple network cards, right? And you can set them up to be on separate networks. So you can have your management traffic on one network and then iSCSI traffic on your other networks. No. Well, the virtual appliance, it kind of depends on what you set up. So the minimum is one, but if you want to give it more network cards and do that, you can. All right, so we're giving this new volume to the server. And it's going to go create that volume. So that'll just take a minute here. So while we're doing that, I'll give you a little tour of the configuration. So there was a question earlier. I should have repeated the question, but it's, you know, how do you segment your iSCSI traffic and your management traffic with SourceSimple? And so you just go over here to the configuration, and you can see your network interfaces. For this one, it's pretty simple because I only have one network enabled, but you would just enable these other network interfaces and put them on whatever network you want. So now we're going to flip back to the server. And rescan the disks. I'm going to check. Taking a minute to show up here.
Did you not have to specify the SourceSimple device as a target?
Oh, thank you. Yes. All right, I forgot to connect the iSCSI initiator. All right, here we go. All right, so we're going to just grab the IP. All right, so now I'm just getting the IP address of this array. I'm gonna go back over to the server and actually make the iSCSI connection, which is important to do. All right, now I'm actually connected to the server. All right, and you see the disk shows up here. So, and now we would just, you know, online the disk. And we can do a quick format of it. All right, so now, and this is gonna look, you know, like a local disk to the server, right? So if you had applications running on here, it could start just sending data right to that local disk, and none of those applications need to know that the data is actually in the cloud, right? So that's that seamless integration. All right, so now we'll do, let's say that you're using this for a while, the 5 terabytes was getting almost full and you need to extend it. You can do that as well. It's just SMB and iSCSI, yeah. NFS is not in the works, no. But what you can do in which, so the physical appliance is iSCSI only today. Sorry, the question was is like, do you support NFS? So not natively on the appliance, right? The physical appliance is actually iSCSI only, but our most common scenario is that people take the physical appliance and then they put a file server in front of it, right? So that file server will be connected over iSCSI, but that file server can actually be NFS or SMB or whatever. Yep. Okay. All right, so I'm gonna go back to that volume that we created, this 5 terabyte volume, and extend it. just say we'll make it 7 terabytes. Okay, and this is just about as quick as actually creating it in the first place. Then we'll go back to that server. There we go, right? And so now you could just go in and extend this volume and take advantage of that extra space, right? I'm not gonna do that just for the sake of time. Now I'm gonna show you a clone, okay? So we're gonna do kind of the cooking show where we flip over to another server. All right, so like I was saying before, a lot of folks put file servers in front of Store Simple devices, and that's what I've done here. So I have a highly available file server set up with a bunch of data in it. You know, here's like my bio slide, a bunch of resources. What we'll need to do is just change this thing around just for the purposes of the demo and say, oops, I did something wrong with this and now I need to recover it. All right, maybe you didn't just corrupt something, but maybe something was deleted. Oh. There's a lot in here. This is going to take too long. All right, so we'll just delete this. All right, so I've done some things here. Now I need to do a recovery. So what I would do to do this recovery is I would clone from one of my more recent backups. So all the backups across all the devices are visible here in this backup catalog. I'm just going to pick this physical device. All right. And so here's the share that I have backed up. I want to create a clone of this share. So I don't want to restore and go bring everything back to the way it was at this time of the backup. Right? I want to create a clone, which is going to give me a copy of the way things were. And then I'll pull out what I need. So I'm going to clone it to the same device. And it remembers what the ACRs were for the original device, for the original share. So I'm just keeping those the same because I want to clone it to the same device. And this is one of those file servers. All right, so you can see that clone disk just popped up down here. All right, so I'm just going to online it. All right, you can see that that file that I deleted is gone. My bio slide here has been updated. What I'm going to do now so you can see here, this is back to what it was before, right? So I can take this paper that was deleted, add it back to the share. I can grab that bio slide that I updated, bring it back. And then I can leave this file server, go back to just my client machine here, and there it is, right? And so that was just some item level recovery via clone. Any questions about what you saw right there? One question over here. What if what? If you didn't have enough space on the Store Simple. So if you don't have enough space on the Store Simple device, you could do it to a virtual device.
Please use the microphone for questions. We're being recorded. Thank you.
All right, then I'll turn it over to Matt for some more demos.
Thanks, Mike.
My mic live? Excellent. Okay, let's get the... So what I'm going to walk through here is a demonstration of scenarios using departmental file shares. So Mike had just done some demos there and walked us through setting up and using and configuring the physical array. This scenario walks through some how you would work, set up and use the virtual array in your different environments. So the virtual array was something that we created. We had a lot of demand from people just saying, hey, we like the physical device, but I can't always, it's not always cost effective for me to deploy that into my sort of my branch locations, or I've got a department that needs this. It's a little bit too heavy for them. So they wanted to use a virtual system. So what this is, from allows you to get the benefits of Azure storage, the benefits of on-premise storage that we walked through with the physical device in a virtual format. So you can run this on Hyper-V or VMware. It's very, very easy to set up and has the same management paradigm using the Azure portal for that. So what I'm going to walk you through today is just how quickly and easy it is to set up. If you have an Azure portal account today with an enterprise agreement, you could get one of these up and running in about 20 to 30 minutes. And I'll make sure that I highlight the key parts of that as we go along. Okay, so let me just switch you over to my PC. And what you can see here is this is a server that's running under my desk right now. You can see I've got a Hyper-V manager here to see some VMs, and a VM manager here as well to see some alternate VMs on an ESX system. So to set this demo up, the first thing that I'm not going to show is there's a download of an operating system drive that you do from the Azure portal. And if you have a look here, I'll show you in the settings of this, of VMware, the VMware VM that I've set up, I've provided this VM with 8 gig of RAM. I've provided it with four CPUs or four cores. It's got the operating system drive that I downloaded from the Azure portal. And it's got a drive of a minimum of 500 gig to maximum of 8 terabytes that I provided for my local caching device. So it's as simple as that. Once I've set the VM up and given it those parameters and connected it to the network, my next task is starting that VM, and because we've already done this before, I will show you the VM starting. So this is one that's already running. There we go. I log on, and you can see that this is the VM, just looks like a regular Windows core server that's running. I can see its IP address, and from there, I can do all the work that I need to work on my local environment to get it connected to the network. So the VM initial setup is very, very simple. I first log on to the VM. And my main task here is get this connected to my local network. So in this case here, I've got a DHCP network that I've set up. So this gets me connected there. I set the device personality. In this case, the virtual array can be either iSCSI, provide iSCSI block storage out to your devices, or a file share, or a NAS device. So in this case, I've pre-selected it's a file server. So you can see I've already given it a file server name, I've already connected it to the domain, and so it's ready to go. I optionally set web proxy if I have to get out through a web proxy to the internet, because that's how I need to better connect to Azure for management. I've set my time settings, and this is where I connected up to Azure, the cloud account. So I have my, what I've done previously, I've put in the secrets that I need in order to connect to my cloud account. So once those things are done, really that local VM is now set up and connected to Azure itself. And what you'll see there is now in this dashboard in Azure, just like the Azure portal that you saw before, this is the portal where I can see all of these VMs no matter where they are. So I look at my devices, and I can see that I've got a VM here that we've just provisioned with nothing on it, so a lot of capacity free there. I can see I've got an Atlanta engineering system, my LA sales, and I can see that at a glance that my San Francisco, my marketing system in San Francisco is offline. So it's from a high-level view, I get a view of my dashboard. I get a view of the statuses of all these devices. Now, if I need to go in and configure a different device, it's a very, very easy task to do. So in this case here, I can go in and drill down directly onto a machine. I can see a direct monitor for the amount of capacity that's being used locally and in the cloud. I can see if there's any jobs that succeeded. So in the last 24 hours, there's been jobs that have been running on this device. Monitoring, if there's any logs or issues or anything like that, warnings that come up, I'm going to get those popping up here in the monitor. And I can see the shares from here. So this is exactly where I'd go if I wanted to create a brand new share. I would go in here, and very similar before, exactly the same as configuring up a physical device, I go through, give the share a name. Whether it's a tiered share or local share, tiered meaning that the data will remain local as well as tier into the cloud, and a pinned share is means that the data will always remain local and only the backups will be in the cloud. And so I can make the capacity of, say, 600 gig. I can set the appropriate access permissions to make sure who's going to be the administrator of that share, which will be me, and away it goes and creates that share. So now, if I was a user of, I've been given permissions to these shares, if I was to go out and look at one of these shares, so this is my LA sales machine, I see that just like a regular file server, I see all the shares that are available to me. So I can go into, in this case here, build, CES, different directories, and it's just like a regular file server because it is a regular file server. The one big difference that you'll see though is in the root of each share, you'll see a .backups folder. That .backup folder allows for self-service recovery. So this means that your users, if they delete a file, if they cause a problem to themselves, or some sort of corruption occurs, the user himself can go back in and browse the file system, browse the share as it was for the last 5 snapshots. So we take a snapshot with the virtual array once every 24 hours. So in this case, it was taken at 10:30 at night. So I can go back in, and now I'm looking at what the device looked like 24 hours ago. And I can very easily, now I'm actually browsing Azure to get this data back. When I double click on this file is being, it's not being sorted locally, this file is actually being directly brought back from Azure Blob Storage and provided back to PowerPoint in a way that they didn't understand it. So there was no changes, no application updates required for that. I'm sorry, what was the question? So the question was, can you configure a virtual appliance to do both iSCSI and SMB? So the virtual array or virtual appliance, when you set it up, you choose its personality. So you choose whether it will be iSCSI or you choose that it to be SMB. So you choose one protocol per appliance. So if you want a block device, you want block storage, then you configure it to be that way at the beginning. And so that's as simple as it is. I mean, in 20 to 30 minutes, you can be up and running with a virtual array. That virtual array will back up and tier your storage into Azure, running off either VMware either VMware or Hyper-V. And it's an environment that, what I wanted to say here is I'll flip back to my other screen. And in this situation, what it's really good for is your environments that really act as little islands of data. So you've got islands of work groups in those areas that really do a lot of work within the office, but aren't sort of collaborating really across those offices. And we've had a lot of requests of people saying, well, I've got a lot of different branch locations, office locations that need to be able to collaborate across those sites. And that's sort of the lead into our next discussion here, where we've got Talon and Kevin to sort of talk through the issues that they faced at Vistaprint, and he can walk us through those. So come on up.
Is this on? Hi, everybody. My name is Kevin Olson. I am a lead systems engineer with Simpress. Simpress is a company, I'm not sure if many of you have heard of it. You probably have heard of some of the brands under the Simpress imprint. What Simpress does is we're a world leader in mass customization and web to print. So we produce millions of custom personalized products, and we sell them to our customers under a number of brands globally. I've been with the company for 6 years, and the company has grown significantly since then. Let me just change the slide here. There we go. So the company's probably doubled in size in the 6 years that I've been there, by every metric that you can think of, whether it's revenue, number of employees, number of offices. Just a quick overview of where we're at right now. We're at 6,500 plus users. We are in 19 countries, over 30 branch offices. Excuse me. And obviously, this presents some unique IT challenges for my small IT teams, myself and five other people managing corporate IT for the company. These are some of the brands under the Simpress imprint. You might recognize some of them. Probably the most recognizable brand in the United States is Vistaprint. But these are the brands that we sell our products under. So we're very, very large and decentralized company with a lot of sites. And this is what this is the lead into what we're trying to solve in terms of storage. So my team is trying to support this decentralized company, and we're taking a look at, we wanted to step back and take a look at all of the technology stack that it took for us to support storage on an enterprise level for a company of this size and scope. And when we stopped and took stock of everything, you can see this might be a list that looks familiar to a lot of you that have been doing this for a while. You start with the front-end storage that the customers actually access, and that's really all most people in your company see, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on. You have your backup applications, you have your backup targets, you have your disaster recovery scenarios, you have tape storage in some cases, you might be doing backup to disk storage, you have maybe offsite storage if you're doing tape backup that you have to manage. And then you have a suite of management tools and probably a bunch of different experts maybe, or maybe it's all one person in your company trying to sort of orchestrate all of that. And when we looked at this, we knew right away we had to simplify it and try and reduce this stack as much as possible so that we could manage it effectively. And the other thing we realized is, even with all of these things working perfectly, we weren't providing a good, consistent experience to our global customers. We have users and offices all over the world. It's heavily collaborative. And unfortunately, having single instance storage, even with all of this enterprise data protection, just wasn't giving a good experience, particularly to our branch offices. And that's actually what brought us to Talon and Microsoft. So with that, I'm going to give the mic to Yap here. He can tell you a little bit about Talon.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us today. I know it's a Friday. It's an afternoon, so we'll keep this quick and nimble. So a little bit about Talon. We are a software company. And we solve the inherent challenges around distributed storage, especially for organizations like Simpress that have branch offices all over the globe, have challenges around collaboration and accessing data in real time. So our software actually helps you to centralize your data into a single set of data, leveraging the StorSimple platform, for example. And by centralizing this this data into one authoritative data set, you can start to branch out to your branch offices to allow for full collaboration and consolidate storage and services from those branch offices in a much more effective way. As a result, because our software runs on Windows Server and creates this file cache at the branch, you're drastically reducing the complexity and the infrastructure at the branch. And that's why it ties really nicely into the whole picture with Microsoft Store Simple, because we're only presenting the relevant data sets and the relevant files to those users that are actually needing them. So as a result, when we start to work with Kevin and his team, we architected a solution with Microsoft Store Simple, leveraging the Azure cloud and leveraging our software to create those branch office file caches. And we've been able to eliminate the complexity by using all these Windows Server technologies and the semantics around SMB protocols and the semantics around running all of your branch office services onto one single instance device. As a result, we've been able to reduce cut the storage cost by approximately 70%, and also driving the value of Microsoft Azure in that sense. So maybe, Kevin, if you can explain us a little bit what your environment looked like, and then we talk a little bit about what those next steps were.
Sure. Yeah, so we actually, this is a pretty good picture. It's a little simplified, but we actually, when we started in this process, we decided we need to talk to our end users in the different locations and really try and understand what it is their expectation is. And the number one thing that we heard over and over and over again is our employees want real-time collaboration with their file shares, folders, and files, particularly since we have a lot of distributed teams where we have multiple people in different offices all trying to work together. One of the technologies that I think precipitated this and put us behind a little bit in our customers' eyes is the advent of video conferencing. We're a heavy video conferencing company, and we have distributed teams, and the question comes up, if I can video conference with my colleague across the ocean so easily, why is it that he can't access a file that I can access quickly? So that was the thing that we heard over and over again. So this is a problem we've been trying to solve for almost as long as I have worked for the company. And we've tried a number of things. We tried Microsoft DFS replication. We even tried some other cloud storage gateways. None of the solutions that we came up with worked at scale satisfactorily. And we couldn't keep them because they were, you know, either not solving the problem completely or they were causing other issues for our user that were too big to ignore. And in fact, before we came across Talon and the Store Simple team, we actually almost gave up on this altogether. So the solution we came up with was to have the centralized data in the Azure Store Simple, and then use the Talon solution to provide distributed local access to a number of different offices. And we found that it worked really well. And actually, I think, Yap, you might have a few things to say on the details of the Talon solution. So,
yeah, just a little recap here. We're looking at an end-to-end strategy where we're reducing the storage footprint throughout the enterprise. So with Kevin, like he mentioned, we started to adopt Store Simple. We started to move those unstructured data workloads off Tier 1 storage onto Store Simple and started to leverage the Azure cloud more effectively for the purpose of backup, for the purpose of restore, for the purpose of disaster recovery, and extend that value of the Store Simple solution using Windows Server and the Talon Cloud Fast software to that branch office to facilitate in global file sharing and file locking and all those good things that you require in a collaborative environment. So you can see an end-to-end strategy here could be that you have a 400 terabyte storage workload in Azure. The active data set may be 10% for the whole organization, so you're only tiering 10% of that data locally at your data center. And at the branch office, you're minimizing the storage footprint by only caching the active data set. So you may need 500 gigabytes worth of storage to present the cache there. So this paints the picture of scaling out an environment using Microsoft technology and a Microsoft strategy to effectively allow for a real-time global collaboration. So Kevin, just let's move on to the next slide. I think this is what we wanted to get towards.
Yeah. There's some nice PowerPoint effects on here. So we realized that being a central IT team that's providing services to a decentralized company that has offices everywhere, we had to come up with a solution that somehow satisfied those two disparate things. And this ends up being a great solution for that because we have a central data center that has our StorSimple appliance in it. We're leveraging the Azure cloud for the data tiering and all of the features that Mike and Matt have been telling you about. And it's centrally managed through the Azure console, which is great. And on the other side of it, we're using the Talon solution to provide that distributed local access so that people, no matter what office that they're working in, can get local-like file performance out of what they're doing. The great thing about this for myself and my team is it's a Windows native solution. We are Microsoft engineers and subject matter experts. So it's really cool to be able to implement something that allows us to take advantage of some of the what I consider fun tools that Microsoft has to offer. You guys saw a demo, that was done on how you can use the Azure UI to do these quick configurations, cloning disks and all of these things. What's not in the demo, and what we've actually done, is used the Azure PowerShell module to do complete end-to-end configuration of our StorSimple appliance. We have all of our configurations scripted out, automated, stored in source control. And right around the time we were deploying this environment, we started looking at another tool, which is not StorSimple related, but I think is also pretty cool as well, which is Azure Automation Desired State Configuration. One more, okay. So if you're managing Windows servers and you're not looking at desired state configuration, you really should be looking at it. It's really cool technology. It actually allowed us to do end-to-end automated configuration of the entire environment. So in addition to using Azure PowerShell to configure and manage our StorSimple devices, we actually have our application and file servers configured with Azure Automation DSC. So using publicly available, some of them are community written, some of them are published by Microsoft modules. They're called resources in the DSC world, but it's really the same thing. We were able to do configuration of the iSCSI, which you guys just saw a manual demo of. We were able to do a failover file server cluster, deploy the Talon software on all of our core and edge servers, and even do the actual application configuration with desired state. So it was pretty cool. Doing infrastructure as code, which is kind of an industry buzzword, and actually doing it in production is pretty gratifying. And just one last slide on the DSC. This is what the Azure piece of desired state configuration gives you, which is a nice dashboard that shows you the current state of your environment. You can quickly zoom in on key areas of configuration that might be an issue, and keep track of your overall environment. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Yap to wrap this up.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. And let's just move on before we go back to Matt and Mike. Let me see what we get going here. Yeah. So as a result, Cimpress was doing more things with less infrastructure, with less resources in a faster way. So by combining this end-to-end strategy with Microsoft StorSimple, the Azure Cloud, our software and Windows Server, they'll be able to streamline the storage and the infrastructure for their 25 global locations, improve backup and restore, eliminate complexity and footprint at the data center as well as at the branch office, and introduce a flexible and easy to scale out solution to replicate this as they're acquiring customers. So they're acquiring customers on a daily basis, and now they can basically script it and replicate this all out to the globe. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you very much, and hope you enjoy your Friday. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. That was very good to hear. Better to hear from a customer than a bunch of program managers, I think. So thank you very much for that. Let me just make sure I get myself logged back on here on my desktop so we can continue on with the demo for the next area. So one of the questions that has always come up is because we've got the data in Azure, those snapshots that we take in Azure, you know, we've got a VM that we've got available in Azure. It allows you to mount that data. It allows you to run those scenarios like the dev test scenario. You want to test your environment before you roll out something into production, or you want to do something for disaster recovery, potentially run in Azure. So we enable that today. But the real ask is, you know, how can you make that a lot easier? How can we streamline that? So how can we streamline the idea that I've got data on-premise, I'm putting that in Azure, and how can I then make that available to all these Azure services that are out there? And so one of the things that I'd like to sort of walk through here is something that's new, something that we're just starting to do at the moment. And that's this idea of taking that data that you're collecting locally, that's like this ingest phase. We're already doing that today with file servers, with archive servers, with different applications that are putting data on there. We move it up to Azure. But so now we're putting in place a transform. So I've already got the data up in Azure in my snapshots. How do I take that and make that available in other Azure data sources so that other Azure services can use that? And that's sort of that transform. Make it available. Give it to some. Make it available for other services to consume. And then the analyze comes along there, and that's where I actually take that work and do something with it. So we have an example today. So this is a call center analysis that we're actually working on actively. So the idea here is when you call in, you get the little message that says, hey, this call may be recorded for quality control and all those other purposes that are awesome. So that data gets generated, gets saved as a WAV or an MP3 or whatever the appropriate format is on that local system, gets transported up to Azure as part of a snapshot, so I've got it backed up and protected. But in this case, we can also transform. We can move that and make that available now to Azure Media Services. So there's also in that case there, I'm then able to do audio, do voice to text, and then make that text indexable. So I can go and search, look for patterns, see what people are saying. The next thing that I can do is I've got that voice, those recordings up there as well. I can provide that to media services to get sentiment analysis. Are they happy? Is the customer happy? Customer sad? Customer hungry? Whatever the sentiment comes out and tells you, you're going to get that information directly out of here. So that was sort of a call center example. So these are examples if you're, you know, potentially capturing video locally. This is a way that you can capture video local, put it onto StoreSimple, and then through our integration with Azure, integration with cloud and transformation services, then make that available for further transcoding and put that into another workflow. Once it's transcoded, make it available to other services. So another example, video surveillance. Same thing. I'm capturing video. I'm working with that on-premise. I now have that available to me in Azure, and therefore I have that available to me to my other Azure services. So I could run facial recognition, I could run pattern recognition, whatever the appropriate requirement that I may have for my video. And then finally, I may have an application generating logs, so large text files. Through these services, I can then provide these up to Azure, where I've got more powerful tools, more powerful services that can do potentially, I can maybe search it, I could potentially do other analysis, but maybe with machine learning to do that. So this is that idea of data comes in to our appliance. So in addition to the regular protection, regular access that I've got, I can now use Azure and use Azure services on my data to get further value. So my next example is something that a lot of people have heard. A lot of people have asked us to support for a very long time. They've said, well, you guys have got storage, and it's on-premise. I want to be able to back up to that storage, and I want that storage, because you put it locally and you take a snapshot to the cloud, then I've got the best of both worlds. I've got some local capacity, and I have a copy that's sitting in the cloud. So my off-site storage is covered as well. And that sounded great in theory, and we said, yes, we would like to do that, but we can't support that today. However, our latest updates to our software has made it possible for StorSimple to support the high churn workload that the backup target sort of represents. It's a large amount of data going in and a large amount of data periodically being deleted as well, and also requires improved cloud throughput. So we're in the process now. We've released an update 3.0 to the StorSimple appliance, and it basically sets the infrastructure level for StorSimple to be able to support a backup target. Now, what we're doing now, we're working with various backup products in the industry to make sure that we certify them and put the right guardrails around the solution so that you can come out and have a good experience. If you put this product, configure it this way on StorSimple, then it's going to work. And so, so that's why people want to do this, because they want to be able to back up locally, use that local disk for hopefully fast recovery when needed, but also have the peace of mind that their data is protected off-site in Azure, and in the event of a total disaster, I've got a secondary copy of that. And the other big thing there is, let me use the low-cost Azure storage as well as my secondary storage target. So what I'm going to walk through here is going to be a demonstration of our product of StorSimple working with Backup Exec. Oh, actually, before I go on there, there's one setup picture that I do want to show that helps sort of show this. So the idea here is, on my system, I've got it's a pretty traditional system that you would see here. On-premise, I've got my backup software, and I see my servers and applications out there on the left, backing up to a backup application, the purple box in the middle there. Traditional backup going to him. The backup application is talking to StorSimple. So it could be talking just directly doing disk backup, or it could be part of another tiered storage backup that's going on in that environment. So it could be disk to disk, or in our case, we go disk to cloud, or if there's additional storage infrastructure in that environment, we could go disk to disk to cloud, depending on the configuration. And so then, what's happening locally, because we're tiering and also because we take snapshots and put copies in the cloud, I'm elastically expanding my capacity into the cloud, so I'm taking advantage of that low-cost cloud storage. And I'm also taking a snapshot into Azure, so I've got a complete copy of my environment in the case of a full disaster. So you can see there that I get the benefits of the on-premise storage and the benefits of the cloud all in one. So let me flip over to my demo machine and give you an idea of what's going on here. So firstly, what I'll show here is my StorSimple environment. And you can see here, this is an appliance that's been growing with growth. And as Mike was showing us before, we have volume containers on this appliance. Now, in our scenario here, Mike and I, we're friends, we're demoing these things together, so it's okay for us to share these workloads. When we get into production scenarios, your backup target is going to be the workload that you run on this appliance. So I look at these backup volumes, and in here I can see I've got this backup exec volume. It's a 12 terabyte volume. So I've already prepared that volume, it's there, it's created. And if I look on this system, I can see I'm running backup exec here. And I can see that there's a bunch of jobs that have run, a bunch of jobs that are finished, a bunch of jobs still going. And if I look at the storage that's presented to this application, I can see that it is the StorSimple volume. And I can see that it is the 12 terabytes. So it's that same volume that I provisioned from StorSimple is now available to backup exec to use. So whenever backup exec is backing up, it just backs up to storage. It doesn't know that the storage is tiered. It doesn't have to know that the storage is tiered, because the StorSimple appliance masks all that for it. So if I needed to do a restore, I can just right-click, do a restore. And in this case, backup exec has used StorSimple storage. I think I clicked the wrong machine. Yep, that's better. And just like I would with a regular backup product, I'm browsing and I'm able to restore data that had been previously backed up from that system. Now, that those backups just happened to be held on tiered storage. Now, that's all well and good, but what happens if I have a complete disaster? If I have a complete disaster, what I can do, and what I've already prepared and already done, is this environment here that you can see with the server, the backup application, and the storage store server appliance, storage store simple appliance. I'm able to replicate that in the cloud. So the next part of this demo, what you'll actually see is, I've got that appliance, the store simple appliance, running as a virtual machine running in Azure, and the backup exec server is also running on another virtual machine in Azure. So in the event of a complete disaster, I'm actually running up in Azure and doing my recovery up in that location there. And so once again, I'm back at my same Azure console. And you'll see that on my devices, if I go back, I have this B cloud. So this is my store simple appliance that's running in the cloud. And it has already had a cloned copy of previous backups that are run. So in this case here, I've got those same backup volumes, and I've got the same clone of a volume that's running up there. So I can very quickly and easily connect to that system. So let me go, I'll go to my virtual machines in Azure. Let me get back up there. Virtual machines, and I can see my VE cloud. So this is my virtual machine running in Azure. This is running backup exec, so I can see it just looks like a regular virtual machine in Azure. I connect to that, opens up the RDP session. I enter my highly secure credentials, and now I'm connected to my backup exec server running on a VM in Azure. And it is connected back through to the storage that was on the virtual appliance running in Azure. And that virtual appliance was a clone of what had been running previously. So once again, I can go through any of my restore scenarios. So if I look at this server here, I can go through a restore, and I can browse the catalog and recover exactly the environment as it was at that time. And that's happened immediately from the cloud. And so what that hopefully shows is just how very simple and easy it is for us to, you know, set up an application to run locally, use Azure storage, set up a backup application to use that. And then in the event of a complete disaster, you have the ability to connect to those same systems in the cloud as well and use them. So what I also mentioned before is we've made the infrastructure changes to Store Simple to be able to support the scenario. Right now we're in certification. We're working with Veeam, with Veritas, so with Backup Exec, Net Backup, and Veeam to certify these products so that we can come up with very good guidance to make sure that you understand how to set up the backup product, how to set up Store Simple, and how to put them together in a way that you'll come out with a good and successful scenario. Another important thing is, because the backup workload puts so much data into the appliance, you want to make sure that your Store Simple appliance is dedicated to the backup target workload, because it's great at putting a large amount of data in there, and we don't want that data to affect your other workloads on that system. So what we're recommending is that the appliance becomes, you know, a dedicated backup target when you go into this area. And so with that, we're getting up to the last 10 minutes of the presentation, and this is the area where we can hand over for Q&A, or the other area where, if you need to go home, it's been a long conference, it's also sort of time to go home as well. So, any questions? Yes. So the question was, can we replicate between two virtual appliances? So today what you have the virtual appliances take their snapshots and put them up in Azure. If you want to quickly recover a virtual appliance onto another system, you essentially bring up that virtual appliance and they either clone or do a DR to that appliance. And what that will do is, in the background, you immediately make that volume or share available so people can access it straight away. And we also start restoring the heat map, which was the hottest data at the time that was being accessed on that, so to sort of preemptively bring back data that people may use in the future. Yes? Yeah, so the question was, will we have best practices to say how to configure this for disk with NetBackup, with their media servers and backup exec? And I'd say the answer is yes, and those guidance is being created in terms of like what type of throughput you should expect, the amount, what your initial backup sizes should be, those types of things. So the idea being, you can very quickly work out, is this a good solution for me, yes or no? Yeah, sorry.
Is the 64 terabyte limitation on virtual appliances something
So the question was, is the 64 terabyte sizing, like the maximum size limit on the virtual appliance, something that will change? I would say it will change. There's not like a short-term thing that I'll say this, it's going to change in 2 months or 3 months, but today it's 64 terabytes, but it will change in the future. So the question was, if I have the physical appliance and it's at max capacity, if it's 500 terabytes, can the virtual array or virtual appliance connect to that? And so today the on-premise virtual array would not be able to do that for you. What you can use is the cloud virtual array. And in the cloud, what you would do is clone the specific volumes or DR the specific volumes to that to one or more of those cloud appliances to get that data back. So the question was the 8600, which is our larger physical appliance. Yes, it has 29 terabytes of local storage capacity. Yes, and it's a combination of SSDs and hard drives. So I think there's approximately 2 terabytes of SSD storage there. So the data as it comes in hits the SSD tiers, cools, hits the hard drive tiers, and cools further to hit the Azure tier. So the question was, do we have consistent snapshot capability? So yes, today we have an integration with the 8000 series devices. They've got a snapshot manager that can trigger consistent snapshots. So the question was, can that be installed on SQL Server and things like that? So yes, it can be used by other applications to trigger consistent snapshots. Okay, we've got a lot of good questions. Okay. Any other questions? I better keep making sure I look at the all areas. Yeah. So. The question was, we had a slide that said you can run VMs using store simple storage. And so, yes, you can consider it to be normal SAN storage. And there's always caveats, though, because it's hybrid, it's tiered storage. So in the case of VM, a VM is an operating system and an application. So the operating system should always be on locally pinned storage. It's not going to be great if the operating system tiers out to Azure and has to page itself back in. So we would always recommend put your operating system drive onto a tiered volume. And your data disk depending on the application. So if you're running a file server in that VM, your DEF, whatever, you know, whatever volumes you have, they're perfect candidates for being tiered storage then on that appliance. Yes?
A question about the Talon solution that was talked about. When the edge, I guess they're called the edge servers or whatever that are at the branch locations, do they cache their data through the store simple device or do they talk to the Azure storage directory?
No, the edges, they actually, they talk to the data center edition.
Yes. We'll get you back the mic so that you can be recorded as well. So, oh, can you light up the other mic, please?
We're going to get very close on this Friday afternoon. Great.
That's very good.
So the question was, with the Talon solution, does that directly mount into Azure Storage, or does that communicate with the Store Simple solution? So if you would look at this like a, from a deployment methodology perspective, you deploy Store Simple, for example, at your data center. And at the data center, you are running your Microsoft Windows Server clusters to present those volumes out as file systems. And on top of that, you're running your file shares. Our software extends those central file shares to the branch office where we cache them. So we care about file shares, we don't really care about blocks. So what we do is a file aware, we're a file aware solution that basically extends those central file shares. And Store Simple takes care of the backup centrally and the restore and the archival.
So for the data that gets cached at the branch office, that goes through my internal network?
Yeah, so if you have a site-to-site VPN or MPLS to your data center, that's where you basically have your authoritative data set, you open the file, if it needs to be hydrated from Azure, it will be hydrated on the Store Simple volume, and it will be sent back to the branch office, compressed and streamed and optimized, and there you can use it and it's cached. Hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, well, we thank you for your time. As you can see, there's a bunch of resources here. Please go through. Evaluate the session, let us know what you think, and hope you have safe travels home. Thank you very much.